minutes ago, I thanked the mayor for speaking in my place, but I also want to say a word of thanks to every one of you for praying for us while we're on the trip. We've traveled about 3,400 miles total on this trip. It's about 1,250 miles to New Hampshire, 1,250 miles back. And we drove all around New Hampshire while we were there, seeing the foliage and visiting with people and just having a good time with our family. And again, we're grateful for your prayers for our safety more than anything else, that we did have just a good trip, no problems, except for the traffic. And that's just, maybe the Lord is trying to teach us patience. Maybe that's what's going on there, I don't know. But anyway, thank you again for your prayers. Let's go to God now for a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful that we can meet together on the first day of the week. Thankful that you have given us your word, the Bible. We know the Bible is true. Every word of it is true. Help us to always remember that. And that your word does give us the direction on how to be saved, how to live the Christian life, how to be a good husband, a good wife, a good father, a good mother, a good neighbor, a good citizen. All the relationships we have in life, we find the answers to them in the scriptures, and we're grateful for that. Bless us now, Father, in our study. We pray in the name of Jesus, and amen. Our scripture reading this morning, I want us to turn over to the very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. We're going to begin at verse number 12. Christ says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and of the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto them these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Oftentimes in history, the last thing that someone says, some famous person says, the very last things they utter have been inscribed, and many times they seem to be some of the most important things in their life. And sometimes it sums up their life. You find this several times in the scripture, in the Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, when Joshua was about to die. He says, just before his death, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. King David, just before he passed away in 1 Kings chapter 2, said this. He said, I go the way of all the earth. He's talking to Solomon, his son. He said, be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments, and his judgments. What a great thing to tell your son just before you pass away. We know that in the New Testament, Paul said this as far as writing the last book he wrote, the book of 2 Timothy, and he said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, therefore there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearance. hearing. God created man for communication. And God gave the greatest work of communication in giving us the Bible. What would you do if it was up to you to close out the page of the Bible? How would you conclude the book that is going to be the permanent revelation of God to man that people all over the world will listen to, read, and listen and obey? What would you say if you were given that opportunity? Well, I don't know what any of us would do or say. But I know that here in the last chapter of Revelation, we have the last words of Christ. The next time Christ speaks to the world will be on the judgment day. He said, the word that I have spoken to you, the same shall judge you in the last day. He will be the judge on that time. But we find that in this chapter, we have at least four great statements that are words or declarations from the final chapter of Christ. Actually, it answers four questions. The first question is, who is he? Who is this person that is speaking? And he is the very Son of God. He is deity. Listen to what he says in verse 13. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And he's talking about the fact that he is eternal. And the only one that has eternity and is given eternity is God himself. Therefore, Christ is equal with the Father in that respect, in that he is eternal. There are over 300 prophecies about Christ in the Old Testament. You find so many things, wonderful things that are prophesied about him, where he would be born in Bethlehem, when he would be born in the days of the Roman kings, where his kingdom would start, when it started in Jerusalem, all these wonderful things about him. But one of the things that it does declare is the fact that he is going to be God with us. This is talked about in Matthew chapter 1. He shall be called Emmanuel, which is by interpretation God with us. He has declared to be the Son of God. When he asked Peter in Matthew chapter 16, who do men say that I am? Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. John made that same declaration in John chapter 1. He said that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then down in verse 14, he says, and the Word became flesh. Paul affirmed the very same thing over in Philippians chapter 2. In chapter 2 and verse 6, he said, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So all these ways, all these times, he is declared, as it says here, the Alpha and the Omega. Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. And it is a way of saying, I am first, I am last, and that is, I am eternal. And it is wonderful to think about the fact that Jesus is deity, that he is the one who died for our sins, that he will judge us in the last day. But we need to remember that everything begins with that point. Now, when people say, well, I'm not sure if he really is the Son of God, they're just saying, Jesus, you told a lie. When you say that you were, you really just told a lie. And people don't realize the fact that when they deny the deity of Christ, when they deny the fact that he's the Son of God, that's really what they're saying. But as Christians, we are ones who rejoice in the fact that he is our Savior, that he is the Son of God. It says here also in Revelation, he is the root and the offspring of David. That is, he is the King of kings. He is a king like David, but he's a greater king. He said in Revelation 19, he is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is also called the bright and morning star. That is the fact that he is the herald of a new day. And that with Christ there is hope. There is always a new day. There is always hope with our Lord. So the first question, who is he? He is the Son of God. The second question, where do we go? What do we do to find out about Christ? And that is the question of what is authority? And that question is also answered here in this chapter. In verses 18 and 19, it says that one is not to add to or take from the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, I am convinced that that statement applies mainly to the book of Revelation. They talk about not adding to or not taking away from the book of Revelation, but the principle is found all through the Bible. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, he said the same thing. He said, you shall not add to the word that I have spoken unto you. The same thing is found over in the 30th chapter of Proverbs. You don't add to, you don't take away from God's word. And so that principle What said it specifically about Deuteronomy? What said it specifically about Proverbs? What said it specifically about Revelation? That principle goes for all of God's Word. You have no right to take away part of Matthew. You have no right to take away part of Acts. You have no right to take away some of Romans. All of God's Word is authoritative. All of it is for us today. And we need to remember that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. The reason that is because all of God's Word is inspired. And it is God's Word that's going to help you through salvation. That James said, receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your soul. Now again, people in the world today deny that the Bible is the Word of God. They deny the Bible has the authority that it says that it has. People say, well, it's just an ancient book. It's an old book. Maybe it has some good things in it, but it's really not the Word of God. And again, what you're saying is, when God says this is my Word, you're saying, God, no, it's not. God has said, I have spoken. You say, and man says, no, no, you haven't. But God has spoken. Jesus said, the word that I have spoken unto you, the same shall I show you in the last day, John 12 and verse 48. Truth is truth, error is error, right is right, wrong is wrong, and we need to constantly remind ourselves of the fact that this is God's Word. It's not like Shakespeare. It's not like Milton. It's not like some other great writing. It is unique, the only Word of God. And also we need to remember that it is not a parallel to the Quran. It's not parallel to the Vedas. It's not parallel to the Book of Mormon. It's not parallel to the Science and Key to the Scriptures or any of those other books that people have written saying that they are inspired of God. No, those books were written by men and some by women, but they are not the Word of God. So where do we go? We go to the Scripture. The Scriptures are our authority. So we are reminded in the last chapter that Jesus is the Son of God. He is deity. We are reminded of the fact that the Scriptures are the authority. Then thirdly, we ask the question, what's going to happen? And this chapter also answers that. He says twice in the reading we had this morning, behold, I come quickly. Christ is going to come back. He said in John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. He promised that. The angel said in Acts chapter 1, he says, the same Jesus which is taken up from you, which you have seen go into heaven, in like manner shall you see coming down from heaven. Paul declared the very same thing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that he will return. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says he will come as a thief in the night. Now the fact of the matter is that many of the passages show the fact that he is coming. He is coming swiftly or quickly, but nobody knows the day or the hour. Jesus declared that over in Matthew chapter 24. It's said in other places, nobody knows the day or the hour. Now there are people in our world today that have said, we've figured it out. We've read the Bible, we've read the chapters, we have it figured out. Maybe we don't have the exact date, but it's going to happen sometime in our lifetime. No, it's not. You don't know that. It might, yes. He might come in our lifetime. He might come before the service is over this morning. That might happen. But we don't know. He might come tonight. He might come tomorrow morning. He might come at noon tomorrow. He might come next week, next month. We just don't know. Nobody knows the day or the hour. But we know he's coming. That's the blessed hope that we have. He will come back. It's wonderful to think about that. That Jesus told us to watch and to be ready. And no matter when it happens, whether it happens morning, noon, or night, whether it happens in the winter or the summer, whether it happens in whatever month, September or January, whatever it might be, we are happy to think about the fact that the Lord is coming back. Then fourthly, what does he offer? In this chapter, it's a great blessing. You look at verse 17. He says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever let him take the water of life freely. The invitation that Christ gives to all of us is wonderful. And what he is really inviting is come for salvation. He's not saying come for material blessings. He's not saying come so that your life can be easy. He's not saying come because, you know, you want to be admired by people. He's not saying come because you're going to get something in a physical realm, but he's saying come because it is his invitation. Very similar to the invitation we find over in Matthew chapter 11. When he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The fact is, this is also summed up really in the Great Commission. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. That is the promise of salvation. And that's what he's saying here in the last chapter. I want you to come for salvation. I want you to come and be my child. It is a wonderful invitation. And the invitation we give at every service. And that it is appropriate to anybody who wants to be baptized to be baptized. Anybody who wants to be restored, as Amy and Keith were this morning, to be restored. Anybody who just wants to have prayer for whatever need in their life, they can have that and do that at that time. But it's all a wonderful invitation from Jesus. Jesus says, come and have fellowship with me. That's really what he's saying. Come into a relationship with me. And we need to constantly remind ourselves that Christ is the only way of salvation. Peter declared this in Acts chapter 4. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. It was Jesus who said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now again, that goes back to the fact of realizing he is the Son of God. It goes back to realizing the fact the Bible is the Word of God. It goes back to the fact that he is coming again and he will be in judgment. All these things are what we find here in this chapter. And the last one is the great, great invitation. Come unto me. What a wonderful chapter. What a wonderful way to conclude the Word of God. The fact that we have the declaration of his deity, declaration of the authority of his word, declaration of the fact that he is coming back, and the great invitation that he gives for all people to come unto him. There is a song in our book, one of my favorites. It was the favorite hymn of Stonewall Jackson. And there is a line in that song that says this: what more can he say than to you he has said? You who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. It's the song of firm foundation. But we conclude with that very thought. What more could he say? What more could he possibly say in conclusion of the word than what he has said in this chapter? It's a great, great chapter. I hope you will read it often, that you will gain great comfort and strength from it, and realize the great truths that are found there. Now we're going to sing the invitation hymn. If you've not obeyed the gospel, we invite you to do so this morning. We have not put Christ on in the water of baptism. Why not this morning? Confess the sweet name of Jesus. Be immersed for the remission of your sins. As a child of God, you realize you need to rededicate your life, as Keith and Amy did this morning. Why not do that? If you need prayer for a particular need in your life, whatever it might be, for yourself or someone else, we can pray with you for you. Let that be made known. However, we can help you in whatever way we can. We invite you to come. We want you to come. We encourage you to come as we stand and as we sit. Thank you.